Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, Our Refuge is in the Lord.
Let's say Psalm 2 together. That's myself, Lynn, and then Fabian. The Lord is the strength of his people, a safe refuge for his anointed. Why are the nations in tumult? Why do the peoples devise a vain plot?
The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us.
He who dwells in heaven shall laugh them to scorn. The Lord shall have them in derision.
Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury.
Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
I will proclaim the decree of the Lord, he said to me. You are my son. This day have I begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be prudent, you judges of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and with trembling kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Happy are all they who take refuge in him.
Amos 1. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah, and in the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds wither, and the top of Carmel dries up. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with the threshing sledges of iron. So I will send fire on the house of Hazael, and it will devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad. I will break the gate bars of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon. And the one who holds the scepter from Ben-Eden and the people of Aram shall go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they carried into exile entire communities to hand them over to Edom. So I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, fire that will devour its strongholds. I will cut off the inhabitants of Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ascalon, I shall turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, for the three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they delivered entire communities over to Edom and did not remember the covenant of kinship. So I will send fire on the wall of Tyre, fire that will devour its strongholds. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. He maintained his anger perpetually and kept his wrath forever. So I will send fire on Teman, and it shall devour the strongholds of Bozra. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the Ammonites and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead in order to enlarge their territory. So I will kindle a fire against the wall of Rabbah, fire that shall devour its strongholds, with shouting on the day of battle, with a storm on the day of the whirlwind. Then their king shall go into exile, he and his officials together, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We now have 1 Corinthians 1 to 1:17. Thanks, Fabian.
Thank you, and I do apologize for my dog who's barking. You might see that, hear that in the background. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the Church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you've been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So our refuge is in the Lord this morning, as Psalm 2 said. And I like that, how it kept repeating that word refuge. And I want to take that with us today. So Amos, I think he's a legend. And why? Because this is like brutal stuff that he says here. But he was a shepherd in the southern kingdom of Israel. Now, I'm trying to remember all this from an essay I wrote at Bristol. It's come to me. But he was a shepherd in the southern area, and he was called by God to go and speak to the northern kingdom of Israel and to take this message. And so he goes there, and it's beautiful poetry, three transgressions, four, and there's like this repetition throughout his prophecy. So he's this outside voice, and he goes to the people of power, and he starts to say this stuff. And so he starts with, you know, three transgressions of Damascus, and the people around him would be like, oh yeah, yeah, we don't like them, they're not very good, blah blah. And he starts transgressions of Gaza, it's a bit closer to home. And it says about, you know, exiling entire communities and breaking down the strongholds and cutting off people from the land. And then the Jesus says Tyre, and again, people would kind of be agreeing, but then it's getting closer and closer to home. And he's building up this message. He's heading towards a certain place. And he mentions like terrible things have been done. People have been put into slavery. People have been murdered. There's, you know, a lot of anger. This, that is just horrific. The ripping open of pregnant women is like terrible crimes that have been done in order to enlarge the territory, in order to build their strongholds, make themselves independent and profitable. And a lot of the places that he's talking about here are actually, they're doing okay. They're probably seen as quite blessed because they're rich. They're doing well. They've got good walls around them. They're secure. They've got riches, and so we don't reach it here. It's probably going to be tomorrow when we don't have it, but he reaches eventually. He says, and three transgressions against Israel. And when he reaches that point, because he gets closer to home, the people would have been like, what? You don't talk about the most holy place, and then he lists their crimes. And that just takes so much courage to be this shepherd coming into the city and saying, here is what you're doing wrong. And that's incredible to have that kind of calling on God from God to come and just point out people's wrongdoings. And the way he lowers the defenses by coming at them with like people that they may agree are their enemies, you know, like, oh no, we don't like them. That's fine. Yeah. We're with you, Amos. And then they get close and close to home and suddenly he hits them with it. And they're like, ah. And then you hit disagreements. So people come against him. And so the book of Amos is awesome. It's a place of courage and actually God using a voice of weakness and a voice from outside the community to speak into it. And he does that again and again with prophets. And so that's a helpful thing to think about. And then we hit 1 Corinthians 1. Now, the letters in the New Testament are just wonderful, the way they open up. And they open up like we're taught how to pray is with thanksgiving. So if you have a disagreement with someone, if you have an issue with someone, the best thing to do first is to thank God for them. And to then say thank you to them for all that they do, for who they are, for how God's used them, you know, just like, but don't do that as like a, there's an expression of like a poo sandwich. So if you go to someone and you know you want to pick up an issue with them, but you open up with a nice thing. So, hey, I really like the way you did this, but here's my real issue with you. And then you get the meat of the sandwich. And then you finish with a nice light slice of bread underneath that's, oh, but I think you're great. You know, that kind of like message isn't what Paul's doing here. And so often we do that to people. We come at them and say, I think you're wonderful, but if you could just do this a bit better, but I still think you're wonderful. You know, that kind of like message. Paul's not coming at them with a poo sandwich. He is genuine in his thanksgiving. So often what I'm saying is that with that sandwich, your message is what's in the middle. And actually around it is just kind of this buttering it up. It's making it sound nicer. But if you come with integrity about thanksgiving and come to God in prayer for the thanks of the people in the church, and we always have beef with one another. We always have issues with one another. But first of all, we need to give thanks. I give thanks, my God, always for you. And just to think about why are we thankful? What is it? And as we meet together for as a PCC, as we meet together as a church, as leadership teams, as coffee teams, flower teams, whatever we are, it's wonderful to do that first. Just to think actually how thankful we are for one another. Because so quickly you could just end up as a grumble session all the time. So that's a good reminder for that. But then, he goes on to, now I appeal to you. I appeal to you about this divisions among you. So, and thinking about this morning, as the royal family was brought to mind about this, and it's so easy as a family, as a church, to have disagreements. And when they're aired publicly, it sometimes can be good because you're getting rid of toxicity, bringing things to light, but also it can be severely damaging. And what we're seeing the royal family go through at the moment with Prince Harry, bringing lots of private stuff to light. There's a debate whether he should or he shouldn't, but he is anyway. And it's doing a lot of damage to the royal family. And actually, who is it benefiting? And what is it for? Is he doing it for profit? Is it doing it for sense of justice with himself and Meghan? We don't know, but it's doing a lot of damage. And there might be a genuine reason why he's doing it and a good reason, but there is still a lot of damage being done. And I wonder if this could have been handled a lot differently. And the disagreement that we have here is people saying, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to, you know, they're setting their identity under a teacher at the time. And Apollos was a very educated, well-spoken, clever person. When he came, his message was probably better than Paul's. You know, Paul's like the super brain of the Bible, but Apollos was a very good speaker as well. And so we have this like people identifying under certain people instead of putting themselves under Christ. And that's so easily done. It's so easily done where you think actually, I belong to this branch of Christianity or this. And we've got so many denominations, so many splits and schisms and throughout history, and it continues to happen. And a lot of the stuff that we debate, that we air out in public, that we do, actually aren't that relevant to the coming generation, or sometimes just, you know, people think, oh, it's just them arguing amongst themselves again. And actually, it's not always a good thing to do. And it is severely damaging. So we have to check ourselves. And when we think about how we speak about one another and about the church, we have to come with humility, and we have to know that God is our refuge. And if there is injustice happening, it's good to air. It's not good to hide things that are bad, but it's also, it's the way we do it. It's the way to come together and under Christ and be brothers and sisters and thank God for each other first, and then have a genuine conversation. It's when things get squashed that they then burst out in unhealthy ways. And I think that's what's happened with Prince Harry. So I think this morning, let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the divisions that we see amongst it. The goal, you know, what's the church for? And what is it called to stand up for this year? And let's also pray for injustice that happens, and for things that are done in God's name that shouldn't be done. And we need those prophetic voices, sometimes from outside of our own churches, outside our own communities, to call it out and say, hey, guys, this isn't okay. And let's give us ears to hear. And let's pray for humility in all this so that we can remain under Christ. Let's pray. Lord, you are our refuge and our strength. God, we need you. Lord, when we rely too heavily on our own strongholds, our own securities, our riches, our buildings, our traditions, Lord, would you help us to see that? Would you help us to fall on our knees and come before you? Lord God, I pray that you give us a heart for one another. Would you give us a joy and a thanksgiving that just can't help but bubble out and thank everyone for their roles that they play? I pray for the churches in Taunton, Lord, for all the different roles they do, whether they're amazing at, you know, working with the elderly in chaplaincy, or they're incredible at, like, traditional stuff like the minster, or they're really good at family work, or giving or volunteering, and all the different roles that they play, Lord, I thank you for them. And Lord, I thank you for this network meetings that happen when the leaders come together, and I pray for the unity that's being formed through that. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't see differences first, but we'd see the heart of Christ, that we would see you as part of your body. And that would be what joins us together. And Lord, when we have disagreement with one another, Lord, I pray that it would be done in a healthy way, a way that's in dialogue, a way that's genuine, a way that's full of thanksgiving, as well as, like, we all need correction, Lord. And I pray that you would use voices to correct me, to correct others, but it would be done in a way that builds us up, that encourages us and doesn't knock us down. Lord, I pray for this new year. Jesus, would you just help us in that? Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.